All right, 8:06 on this Thursday, July 9th. Roger, before we go to James Finch, you want to give a shout-out to somebody?
I want to give a shout-out to a fellow by the name of Chris Somerville. I play pickleball. Samantha and I both play pickleball with his wife, Monica. She is a teacher at Our Lady of Fatima, I think, in Benton. But Chris works for Arcana Laboratories here in Little Rock. She'd mentioned who I was, and he said he listened or knew who we were. Maybe, but anyway, shout out to them. She is a wonderful person, just a very good-hearted person, and a heck of a pickleball player. Yeah. Chris Somerville, Monica Somerville, this is for you.
All right, let's go to the Hodges Glass, Little Rock Glass Hotline, and talk to a guy that we're going to be spending some time with this weekend. His name is James Finch, former owner of Phoenix Racing. His son Jake will be driving Saturday night. He's a good buddy of my dad's, and he makes my dad laugh so much every week, and I'm very grateful for that. Let's go to Panama City, Florida, and talk to James Finch. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
We're doing great. Now, listen, I know my dad's there. We got you on speaker, so if this echoes too much, we'll get you to take him off speaker. But first of all, I got to tell you, we're super excited to be with you in Atlanta this weekend and watch your boy Jake race. First time, this is the first race, right? His deal with Dell Jr. to be able to race for Dell, for Jr.?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, for us, it's a big deal. For you, yeah, he's been racing for a long time. This is not anything new for him. But when you're racing for Jr., that's got to be a pretty big deal.
Yes, it is. I mean, he really looks forward to racing for him. You know, back when I was racing, I wouldn't let Dale Jr. drive my car.
did he want to, and you just didn't let him?
That's right.
Wow. Well,
wow. And you did the same thing with Tony Stewart. Is that right?
Yeah, I ain't too bright. I told Dale. I said, Dale, go wreck your daddy's stuff. You ain't going to be wrecking.
That's what you said, go wreck your daddy's stuff. So for those that don't know, you were telling me the other day, you've been in the race game a long time. Maybe take us back to where it all started. You're from Panama City, Florida. Did you go to Bay High School?
I did.
Yeah. So when did you get into racing back then? It was and how did it sort of start for you?
Well, when I started off, I was 10, 11 years old, working in a service station, and the guy had a drag car, and I was working there and went to the drags with him for a few years and stuff like that, and then I went up to stock car racing. But I was in the race when they shot Kennedy on Friday. I was there Friday night. I was at another race on Sunday morning when they shot Oswald. So I've been around a long time.
So, but then it got a little bit more serious. You obviously started falling in love with the sport. You had to make a living too, which was in construction. So how did you manage that? How did you grow into a NASCAR owner?
Well, I went to Daytona my first time. I was like 16 years old in a hitchhike down there. Wow. It wasn't a winter state. But so I go down there and I go to the drag races out in D-Land. It was on the Air Force Base, and they had big spotlights on the Army trucks shooting down through the quarter mile, you know, because they didn't have any lights out there and had portable lights. But so that Sunday, when the drag race was over, I went to the 500, Daytona 500, and that was February of 67. So I was up there in the stands, and I said, man, this is really, really cool. I said, I need to do this one day. I want to win this damn thing myself. I only had one problem. I was making $20 a week.
So you had to change that, right? Yeah.
So time I got back down there, it was 20 or 30 years, whatever, and I was car owner. My driving career didn't last very long because I didn't have any money at work. So I went, short track racing and racing all over the country. I had a bunch of good buddies from Arkansas close to you. And so I've been to Batesville many times. Yeah. I was out there a few months ago. A really good friend of mine, Phil Davis, died out there in Batesville. I went out there. And I'd like to say hey to all the Bill Davis trucking people and Bill Davis and Bill's wife and everybody out there, because he was a really good friend. And matter of fact, he won the Daytona 500.
Yeah,
Batesville, Arkansas.
Yeah, we know Bill. He's in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, and of course Mark Martin. And so again, you started. You know, you came out, you graduated from high school, and somehow you've gotten to the construction business. So you started doing real well for yourself in construction there in Panama City, in the Panhandle, and it enabled you to maybe get a little bit more serious with racing. So you created Phoenix Racing. I don't know what year that was. Is in the late 80s, I think. How did that come to be, and who were your first drivers back then?
It was like 81, but I had more drivers even in NASCAR than anybody had. I mean, I've had 7 or 8 Daytona 500 winners drive my car, 1 world champion, 5 or 6 NASCAR champions. You know, Kyle Larson, the first car he drove in Cup racing was my car, and Bobby Labonte drove for me, Kurt Busch, Keselowski. You know, first I won the Talladega 500 with Keselowski, and so I've had a lot of drivers and had a lot of fun. Short track racing, I had many races, but Jeff Purvis was was triple national championship dirt racing, and won the world championship 3 times, run 2nd 3 times. But Jeff raced for me 12 or 14 years. And I've wrecked enough cars to fill up the damn Gulf of America. You know, when they talk about him going 200 miles an hour when they have this wreck, and then all of a sudden they pick them up to Mount Amherst and make sure they're all right, they should have stopped and picked me up a few of their times.
Let me ask you. So you go back far enough. You remember Richard Petty? You were around Petty. You were around Dale Senior, Earnhardt Senior. What were those guys like back in the day?
Oh, they were good. Dale Senior was good friend of mine. His best friend was Neil Bonnet, which got killed in my car in '94 in Daytona down there, just like Dale did a few years later. But they were best friends, so I knew Dale Senior, you know, really good. I knew Richard Petty, and knew Maurice's brother, been to the house. You know, it's a family life. I mean, I know all of them. David Pearson, you know, I went through, you know, all the racers for the 4 or 5 generations of racing. And like I say, I'd hate to know. I'd find out I never liked it, because hell, that's all I've ever done.
Well, you've enjoyed doing it now. But one of the reasons you got out of it, I was reading, is that it became so tough and expensive trying to find sponsorships, and financially it was not one of those things, very tough to make money without being a giant team. Is that correct in the assumption there that was one of the reasons you got out?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was just so expensive. You know, it's $250,000 a week or something. You know, my tire bill was $1 million a year.
Wow.
And then I had an Indian sponsor out of Miami down there, the casino, and me and the Indian chief had a good time for a few years there, and he really helped me. But he liked to drink. He liked to drink, and I did too.
Steve, we'll let you ask a couple questions too. Yeah. So you got out of it, but now you're getting to sort of, you know, live through your son, Jake. He's 21 years old, good looking kid. I think he's won 5 late car races in a row or something like that. So are you optimistic? Does he have a chance to be one of the really big names in racing, you think, down the road, if not sooner?
Yeah, but I'm kind of torn about that. I said, hey, you'd be better off to come over here and learn how to run this construction company. You know what I'm talking about? But he's doing really, really good. And he's won 6 out of the last 7, you know, the races there. He should have won the Daytona 200 the last 2 years. He led 98% of the races. He got wrecked on the last lap, leading them. He went to Talladega and won Talladega. He led every lap of the race at Talladega a couple of years ago in the ARCA race. And then we went to Dover, which is a really, really tough track. And his first race up there, he won that race. Wow. So Rick Hendrick put him in the 17 car, which Rick's a really good friend of mine. Nice guy. I mean, he he helped me a lot. And the first time that I was trying to get a motor deal with Rick, and he gave me a price on it, and I told his people, I said, tell Rick I can't afford to go that damn fast. So a little while later, I told him, I said, well, I reckon I need to do that motor deal. I said, because I can't afford to go that slow either.
There you go.
Hey, James, this is Steve Qualls, man. This is an honor to talk to you. I look forward to getting to meet you and seeing you and ask you a ton more questions. But I have a couple questions I want to ask you. I want to know what it was like back in the 90s when you would show up to Daytona and there were 80 cars trying to qualify for the 500. What was that like back in the day when you had to qualify to get in?
Hey, that's when racing was good. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, had the 125 back then. It went to 150s, and of course, they got whatever stretching the gas mileage and what stopping or whatever. But it was, you had to run the race. You watched the race, and the race was from 12th to 15th because you had two cars locked in, and they started on the pole of each 125 qualifier. And then the rest of them was the 14 finishers lined up. So the race was 12th, 13th, 14th. It wasn't first or second. I mean, it was really, I'll never forget, I had a friend, and he raced down there 15 or 20 times, named Dale McCowley. Dale, you know, he never make the race. He was really a underfunded team, and he just loved it. And he said he had never won a race, but he had never lost a party. So... we were there, and they had a big wreck in 3 and 4, and it took out A.J. Foyt and several of them. And here comes Delma across the finish line about 14th. So he was in the Daytona 500. He was tickled to death. So all those guys come over and tried to buy him out. He said, I ain't got enough. I don't have any money, but you ain't got a damn enough to get me out of this race.
That's fantastic. So
so that's the way it should be. I mean, now you go to Daytona, and the first 36 is locked in, and you got four opening spots. And when I first went down there, it was $250,000 for last. And that was a big deal, and you know, to make that race. And so I quit racing the cup racing and went back to bush racing, and I call it bush racing because it was bush, and then it was Xfinity and O'Reilly and, you know, whatever. But
yeah, so that was back when you had a lot of start and stops because guys you were so underfunded that you couldn't afford to tear your equipment up. But if you could make the race, you could get a check, and that would get you to the next week.
No, matter of fact, I was the one that started that stop.
Starting
parks, what we called it.
Yeah. Starting parks.
Start and park. So, and what a lot of people don't know that you were a specialist at restrictor plate racing.
Yes, I mean, I thought the first race I'd win would be a short track race, and I thought it would be Richmond or something like that, and it was. I won Richmond 3 times. Should have won it 5 with a Busch car. But the first time they had the chase, they started doing the chase, and you know, Richmond was the last race, and it started the chase. Well, I was up there, and Mike Wallace was driving my car, and so I was Rick Hendrick come down there and sit on the box with me because he had more fun down there grabbing my box. And so we were leading the race, first race that I led in cup racing. So we was leading 20, 30 laps, and Everham sends this guy around there and says, hey, James, how about pulling over and let what's the name take the lead? Because he was from Tennessee, and he was the guy that got in trouble. I forget his name. I don't know it real good. But, you know, trying to get in the chase here. And I said, you go tell Everham to pass me. I'm not pulling over for no damn buddy.
I don't blame you.
I was kind I was kind of like a terrible coward. You know, like,
yeah, you're, so anyway, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. So I have one more. I have another question for you. A lot of people don't know that you were very involved in drag racing, and you are a member of the Southeastern Drag Racers Association Hall of Fame. Are you still involved in any form of drag racing?
No, I went up to Charlotte up there to a deal with Rick a month or so ago, and they opened that road race course that him and Smith built and had all the IROC cars from 20 years ago there. And so Sox and Martin, which was a really, really big drag race team back in the day,
yep.
Buddy Martin was turning 90 years old. So I left that and went up to Buddy's place and seen him. And they had a big reunion there and seen a lot of the old drag racers. And that was a couple months ago.
Okay.
And but Sox and Martin was, you know, one of the biggest. Matter of fact, is, you know, remember the engine builder that got killed in the plane crash with Rick Hendrick? Randy Dorton.
Randy Dorton, yes.
First time I ever seen Randy Dorton, he was working for Sox and Martin many, many years ago. And so his brother Keith Dorton built motors, a lot of motors for that. But I know most all of them throughout the deal. Arkansas, I tell you what, y'all got one of the biggest races coming up in Arkansas, which is Batesville.
Batesville. The topless 100.
They're topless there. Yeah. And they're going to be a lot of topless there.
Well, you know,
they're cars. They're cars.
I mean, cars, too.
That's so. That's
it's not the girls. But if it was the girls, I'd be out there waiting now. But
that's your now. That's your buddy. That's your buddy Mooney, right? He's still running the truck.
Mooney Star. Yeah, Mooney Star is one of the best promoters in the whole country, and he's in baseball there, and he's got the topless 100. Him and Bill Davis, Larry Shaw, all that baseball bunch, Mark Martin. Great people, you know.
Well, we got to run, but we got to tell you, we're looking for. By the way, if you just joined the show, we're visiting with James Finch out of Panama City, Florida, who a former owner and creator of Phoenix Racing. His son Jake is going to be racing for Junior Saturday night down at Echo Park Speedway, which is the old Atlanta Motor Speedway.
He'll be driving the number nine car.
That's right. We're looking forward to. Listen, now you know. Now, James, I don't know if Dad's warned you. We got some these guys we're traveling with, boy. It's Roger Scott. You may not know about him, but you're going to learn about Roger. And then you're going to learn so much. Steve Qualls is going to learn so much talking to you. He may never stop talking.
That's right. I may just move in with you.
he loves talking NASCAR. Are we going to have a good time? You know, this is Roger and I. This is only our second race. We've been up in the stands before. I know you're going to take us down in the garage and area. But for those that don't know, you know, tell us, are we going to have a great time this weekend in Atlanta?
Yes, you are. Hey, if I was a little younger, you might be subject to be in jail now.
Well, I don't doubt that. Yeah. Listen, we
Roger and I are too short to go to jail.
Listen, we know the governor.
Well, listen, we can't tell you how much we appreciate the opportunity to go have some fun and watching your son and hanging out with you. My dad, thank you for taking my dad. Y'all are going to fly up there Saturday. I don't get to see him as often, so that'll be fun. And, you know, Steve, like I said, Steve's a NASCAR wonk. He knows everything about NASCAR. Roger and I don't know anything, but we're going to learn some this weekend. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I look forward to hanging out with you this weekend.
I will see y'all there.
All right, James. That's James Finch.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, James. Appreciate that.